This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast, your weekly dose of all things Sky Bet Championship, League One and League Two. And we must start this week by congratulating the former Northampton Town, Nottingham Forest, Ipswich Town and current Colchester United defender Luke Chambers, who has just moved into the top 10 for most appearances in English League football. He's only a year younger than our first guest, who retired at the end of last season, but who's back coaching at the scene of his greatest triumph.
I have everything I've always wanted in Cardiff, you know, like you said, a promotion year, playing the Premier League, the fan here, the ways they took on me, the city and the club, you know, the board always at my back. Everyone at the training ground, at the stadium, behind the scene, you know, they were all very happy to see me again. Same for me.
And we'll hear from the Skybet League 2 manager, who's got his home City club deep in his heart.
I feel like a moaning old git at times when I'm talking to players, but I'm not going to change because it's the way I think it should be done. It's what I believe is the right thing. And hopefully that's playing a bit of a part in the results that we're getting, as well as the standard of the players that we've got.
It's the official EFL podcast. Sol Bamba is back in business in South Wales. He recently became assistant to Sabri Lamouche at Cardiff City, where he was an ever-present, of course, in Neil Warnock's 2017 season team, who were promoted to the Premier League. Is it Sabri Lamouche or Sabri Lamouche, Sol? I never know.
I'm glad you said it back, and that's better. It's Sabri Lamouche.
Lamouche, not Lamouche, yes. Even. Right, I didn't get it right at any point, but I'll stand to be corrected by you, Sol. You know, do you know what I think here? When I think of the high that you experienced at Cardiff, it's a club that's in a very different situation that you've gone back to right now, having been through two managers already this season.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's football club for you. It's up and down always. You go through the goods, like I had it with Neil Warnock and everyone behind the scene. And at the minute, it's not as good as that, unfortunately. That's why we are the club. It's not two ways about it. We came in because it wasn't working, and we're going to try to change one or two things. And the main thing is to stay in the league. You know, the club knows it, the players knows it, and that's what we've been boring for. And hopefully, we can give that to the club.
I mean, had you been having conversations with Sabri about going with him wherever he went next, or was it the fact that there was such a strong Cardiff City connection with you, Sol, that made it obvious that you two would work together?
Not at all, Clem, and I'm glad you asked the question, because that gave me the opportunity to tell everyone exactly like you said. It was planned before. I know the gaffer for like 11 years. I play under him, and when I decided to stop last season, he said to me straight away, as soon as I get a club, you come with me, because I know what you can bring and I know you want to learn as well. And if he's in England, perfect. If he's Cardiff, even better. At the time, he made a joke about it. And if he's not, I'll just take you anywhere. And I said, yeah, I'm happy to do that. So we actually went twice. We nearly went to Galatasaray in Turkey and to Strasbourg in France. And unfortunately, he decided to go for other managers, and we ended up in Cardiff. So I said it was a faith, and I'm happy personally. The gaffer is happy too. But it just worked perfectly, really. But it was planned for me to work with him.
Yeah. I wasn't quite sure what you wanted life to hold, because I don't know whether we had this conversation the last time when you were still playing out your playing career with Borough, because you were doing some brilliant punditry, but coaching was always in your heart. This has always been the master plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I enjoyed the media side of it. You know, I can talk forever, so that's why people think I'm pretty good. But, you know, coaches was always on the back of my mind. You know, I want to give back what football give me, and I want to get my hands dirty. And it was always my main plan. But like I always said, I want to do it gradually as well. I don't want to go straight to, you know, a first team manager job. I think it's very difficult. I think you need to learn your trade. And I worked with Cardiff under 23s before I left the club a couple of years ago. I done it with Middlesbrough last season. So, you know, I want to do it that way. And for me to be assistant now is even better. And eventually, the gaffers know that I want to try on myself, you know. So but that's further down the line. Hopefully I can work with Sabri for many years. And when I'll be ready, I will try myself and see where I can go.
When you do make the decision to hang your boots up, especially after the sort of variance of career that you have had, a lot of boys struggle, don't they? A lot of guys struggle immediately afterwards. Had you got a little template, a little master plan in place, or were you feeling your way and did you have a few wobbly moments?
Yeah, I did that, you know, and funny enough, you mentioned that. I didn't even announce my retirement of football. And that's telling you everything about it because I still didn't know if I could, if I wanted to play, if I wanted to go to coaching or media. So what I did is just at the break after the Borough season I had there, and everyone was asking me, what are you going to do? Are you going to play again? I said, I just want to rest. I want to spend time with the family. And I think that helped me to figure out what I want to do. And I had a good time with the family. I went back to France to see my mum and dad, my brother and sister. It was good to know, you know, go to games and, you know, training every day and spend some quality time with the family. And after that, as I said, I need to go back in. And I think it worked perfectly because I was said I would go back after the new year. And the gaffer had the job and I managed to jump in with him. But it's a good question and it's important, you know, if you can have a plan and struggle because, you know, nothing is like football player. Let's be honest, Glenn, you know, it's the best job in the world. And all of a sudden, when you stop, even if you go coaching or media, you don't have the same buzz. And it's difficult because what we try to do is to find that again. But it's impossible to find it. And that's why a lot of people struggle. So it's important to mention that.
Yeah. Well, and there's two things that come out of that. I mean, first of all, you went back to see mum and dad. Was your mum on your case? It's still not too late for you to be a doctor, Sol, you know. Was she in your ribs telling you to go and do 7 years of qualifications and try and become a medic?
No chance, Glenn. She knows there's no chance anymore with that. But she did say, asking you still got at least a year to carry on playing. But I said, no, mum, I think I had enough. You know, I had a perfect season with Middlesbrough. And I didn't want it to have a bit more, you know, bad moment, if you like, because you never know how you're going to finish. And for me to finish the way I finished with Middlesbrough was perfect.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you obviously took yourself to a place where you were very comfortable with yourself and your own skin, because when uncertainty surrounds us, sometimes we waste the kind of time that you had and we're willing to commit to the family. You know, we allow the uncertainty to stop us enjoying that moment of freedom that you've earned as a result of putting a shift in for the last decade and a half.
No, you're absolutely right, Glenn. I think that's the difficulty really, because, you know, I'm a player and I want to play and win. And I was always on the back of my head, oh, can I do another year? Can I do it again? But I think it's always, you have to pick the right moment to call it a day, because you don't want to do the extra year where, you know, you injured a lot or you don't bring what you want to bring to the team. And that always been in the back of my head. Even when I was very young, the oldest players used to say to me, you know, you need to know when to stop. You know, don't do the extra year where it's going to kill your legacy if you want. And that always stayed with me. So I think last year it was the best time to stop. And even if my mum tried to push me, it was too much for me.
Was it when you knew you were going back to Cardiff and when you were driving to the training ground again and things, was it a little bit of an emotional time? Because you experienced, I'm guessing, probably your career high with the promotion to the Premier League.
Yeah.
But you also experienced while you were there, I guess, your main life low when you were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. So was it a little bit, were you a little bit emotional as you were driving your way?
Oh, Clem, you know me too well. That's I'm worried about that. It's exactly that.
Yeah, but you wear your heart on your sleeve, and I would imagine you would be thinking about that moment when you were promoted, the party, but also thinking about how the club supported you through that such a challenging time.
Absolutely, yeah. That's why it's a mixed feeling, but it's a beautiful feeling at the end, in my opinion, because I had everything I always wanted in Cardiff. You know, like you said, the promotion year, playing the Premier League, the fan here, the ways they took on me, the city and the club, you know, the board always had my back. Everyone at the training ground, at the stadium, behind the scene, you know, they were all very happy to see me again, same for me. And I think that took over, you know, even if I had a difficult moment with the cancer, it definitely took over, the joy took over. So overall, I think it was the happy moment we stayed with me.
The Sky Bet Championship fixtures this coming weekend, Friday night, there's a Midlands derby, West Brom currently sixth, 10 wins in 13 under Carlos Corberan. West Brom go to Birmingham. He has just signed a new long-term contract. Then Saturday, 3 o'clock, Burnley won their last nine. Lancashire derby for the leaders at home to Preston. I'll gloss over the next fixture because I'm sure I'll be discussing it with Sol in a minute. Luton have won six out of seven, go to Coventry. Sheffield United, second, seven wins and unbeaten last nine. They're at home to Swansea. It's Watford have taken just 2 points from their last nine, are in fifth. They're at home to Blackburn. There's a big game again at the bottom. 24th place Wigan against 22nd placed Huddersfield. I missed one game off there, of course, because Cardiff City, just above the relegation zone, take on the mighty Middlesbrough. 10 league wins in 14 under Michael Carrick. Don't even think about it, Sol. All right? These are the split loyalties you have. I know you loved your time in Middlesbrough as well.
Oh, yeah.
These are the split not split loyalties. You're obviously deeply committed to the Cardiff cause now, but there are always going to be these moments in football, are there not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the way it's done sometimes is funny. I always said it's faith because it will be our first home game for Sabri and I. And you have to be against Middlesbrough, and you know, had a fantastic time there. I mean, forget about the football, the people up there, the way the club took on me as well. After that battle with cancer, honestly, I would never forget that. So it's always going to be difficult for me because I followed them every game since I left the club. And Michael Carrick, oh my God, it's been fantastic. But for that game, unfortunately, you know, we're going to try everything we can. You know, I'm in the physio room at the minute. Because it's the quiet part of the training run. But we just finished and we work on Middlesbrough. And trust me, there's a lot of things to work on to make sure we get a result.
Do you want to share those with us? Exactly what you've done to try and bring Middlesbrough down? No? Oh, Sol, I thought we were friends. Actually, I have to ask you, just to put your pundit's hat on for a minute. Middlesbrough, West Brom, Burnley, Sheffield United. Unbelievable form a lot of teams are showing this season in the Championship.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got the usual suspect, if you like, even if you never know in a Championship, you know. But the like of Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, you know, is always there or thereabout. I think, obviously, Middlesbrough, it's no surprise anymore now because everyone can see them coming. But for where they start, when Michael Carrick take the team, and now where they are, honestly, it's remarkable. And, you know, even if, say, in my opinion, they can actually catch the second spot. But even if they just make the playoff, if you like, it'd be remarkable from where they start. So credit to them. Same for West Brom. Honestly, they were, I think, on the bottom three as well when Corbahan took the team. So massive credit to Middlesbrough and West Brom, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. And the consistency of the top two as well. Similarly, when you and Sabri took the job, did you not just look at what you were going to be doing at Cardiff, what the squad was like? Did you kind of analyse the other teams around you as well? What Wigan, what Blackpool, what Huddersfield, who else could be drawn into the mix? Do you assess your realistic chances? You don't just jump in feet first and go,
Glenn, absolutely no. Of course, we assess because, you know, everyone who goes to club want to be successful. So if you don't think for any reason you're not going to jump in. Simple as that. So, of course, we look at our team. We definitely know we got a chance. And after you look at the team around you, you know, and all the team you mentioned, we think they can be dragging there. And in our opinion, we think we got a chance as well to get out of all those teams in trouble. So that's one of the reasons we took the job. And since we've been there, you know, we haven't been surprised because we're really happy with the squad. So it's just about, you know, put that idea on course and give confidence to the lads to start picking up results.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you about that because you are the third management team of the season, and I'm guessing somebody will see you coming in as a new dawn, a blank sheet of paper. Others will feel maybe threatened if you guys want to play slightly differently and things. So what's your, some apart from smiling at them and talking to them in your own natural self, what's your number one cure to lift confidence levels, particularly as obviously you have been on this long run, no league wins in 11 now, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's no secret. It's showing the player you love them and you support them. And I think when you do that, I was a player no long ago. If you know you've got the backup of the staff, you've got no problem. And we try to say to them, make mistakes is no problem. That we take them on board if, you know, the fans aren't all happy or whatever, that's on us. But when you go on the pitch, be free, try things. And if it doesn't work, try again. It's no problem. We're happy with it. And if the fans are not happy or the media or whatever, that's on us. And so far, the response has been good in our opinion. But obviously, you know, like you said, it's been a bad one. Ultimately, we'll be judged on the results. So we need to start winning games.
Saul, I'm going to wish you good luck for the rest of the season. The only problem is it's going to be after 5. It's going to be after 5 o'clock.
No.
It's going to be Saturday night. But I tell you this, no matter what happens on Saturday at your place, I'll still love you. Thanks for joining us, Saul.
Oh, Claire, I love you too. Thank you so much.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Your Skybet League One fixtures for the forthcoming weekend. These are all 3 o'clock on Saturday. Sixth place Barnsley are at home to struggling Cambridge. Second bottom now, Mark Bonner's team. Your big game of the day, Ipswich in third, but just 2 league wins in 8. They entertain the leaders, Sheffield Wednesday. Peterborough Bolton is 7th v. 5th. Peterborough have won all 3 since Darren Ferguson's return. Plymouth, who dropped to 2nd, having lost for just the 2nd time in 25 matches. They entertain Portsmouth. And then it's Wickham in 8th against Derby in 4th, who have won their last 6. As with the Skybet Championship, as with Skybet League 2, full midweek programme as well. Into Skybet League 2, and what a last 12 months it has been for Paul Simpson. Just over a year ago, he inherited his home city club, Carlisle United, for the 2nd time as a manager as they stared at a possible return to the National League. But it is the other end of the table that's currently occupying attentions in Cumbria. There's a little phrase, isn't there? No place like home, Paul. And it kind of, it feels as though it fits you perfectly.
Well, it does at the moment, Clem, yeah. It's, you know, I know what football can be like, and that feeling of being at home can change very quickly. But no, I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying living back in the city. I'm enjoying what's going on at the football club. I'm really pleased with the way the players are and with the group that we've got. And I'm absolutely delighted that we've had from the response that we've had from all of the supporters, because they're coming out in the numbers again. They're backing us home and away. And we've got to do everything we possibly can to keep it that way.
I've got a very strong memory of when you joined us about a month into the job, probably last March time. And you talked about getting a few mates in to put clothes pegs up in the changing room because there was a general air of neglect around the place. And I was thinking when I knew you were coming on that for all the brilliant technical coaching there is around at the moment, there's never going to be any substitute for that old school managerial ownership, is there, for somebody that sets the tone for a group of players and tries to emanate that tone across as wide an influence as possible?
Yeah, I think you have to have that in whatever environment you work in. You have to have somebody who's leading it, who's actually got a bit of a passion for it, who actually wants it to be done properly. And, you know, We're in the age of football where everybody wants the fancy Dan young coaches who've got a lovely philosophy and a fantastic presentation, but there's a real place for management, for standards of professionalism I think it's really important. I think you have to have it. And if you're talking about football, if you're talking about any other industry, if you don't have that standard of management and that lead, those leadership qualities, I think it all falls apart. And it's something that I've always been a big believer in. I was as a player. I think you've got to have a discipline about the way you live your life. And that's something that was drummed into me from my Man City days. When I was an apprentice there with Tony Buck and Glyn Pardo as coaches and a guy called John Ryan, they drove the standards, and it's something that stuck with me all through, and I still have it as a manager now. I feel like a moaning old git at times when I'm talking to players, but I'm not going to change because it's the way I think it should be done. It's what I believe is the right thing, and hopefully that's playing a bit of a part in the results that we get in, as well as the standard of the players that we've got.
Yeah, but I guess there's that inbuilt emotional intelligence that you have to have as well to know, say, which situations and players you might need to be very disciplined, and which ones you can let go because you know they're part of the characteristic of a part of the club or maybe a member of your squad. I don't know, maybe you insist on all black shoes and suits for certain away games, but when your maverick, I don't know, tricky midfielder turns up with a bit of a white sole around a black shoe, you might just go, do you know what, that's part of his character, we can let that. Am I right? Is it that balancing act?
It's funny because as we were waiting while the players were warming up before the session today, I was talking to the assistant, Gav Skelton, and we were talking about little issues that are going on that are actually starting to annoy us. And I said to him, the issue that we've got, though, we have to choose which fights to have. We have to choose which are the right ones to go and pull up about, or which ones do we just let slip over and don't get screwed up about. Because in a football club, you could be picking people out for different things all the time. We've got a group of probably 30 young blokes here who all have their own ideas, all have their own personalities, and you do have to pick, and I wouldn't say fight, but you've got to pick the right sort of small battle, if you want. That's probably the best way to say. And there's times where you see something, you think, that's annoying me, but I'm just going to let that go and I'm not going to get too screwed up about it until it becomes a bigger issue, and then you have to pull them up.
I've got too much respect for you to say what's currently on your annoying you list, but can you give us an example of one that's since been rectified, of a little something that might have been on your list a month or 6 weeks ago, but has subsequently been sorted and therefore you don't mind putting it into the public domain?
Oh, well, I can't think of anything that's happened.
Yeah, you see, sometimes these problems manifest themselves. They swing around our heads, don't they? And then I don't know, a week later, you can't remember what the hell it was you were irksome about.
Maybe I've just solved it and it's just not worth worrying about. I mean, you gave the example of when I first came here and I walked in the dressing room and some of the players had their clothes in a pile on the bench, and I'm saying, why are you doing that? And they pointed up saying, we've got no hooks. Now, that's a simple solution to sort that out, you know, to be able to do it. But it doesn't happen. There's a thing that keeps annoying me at the moment. People keep leaving the front door open when we've had a new catch put on it. So when you close it, it closes and people can't walk in off the street, but it still gets done. But there's no point me moaning about it because nobody listens.
Well, I don't know, but it's the problem we've all got at the moment, isn't it? Shut the door, keep the heat in. We don't want to be sending energy outside with the costs of it. Listen, we've concentrated off the field, but quite clearly into the top three for the first time this season. 6 wins of the last 8. Top scorers in the division. I mean, I'm guessing that makes you proud, or are you still one of these, again, curmudgeons that's annoyed that his defence is letting them in at the other end and you have to score so many?
Well, no, I mean, I want more clean sheets. That's the demands that we're putting on them. We've had 11 so far and I want more because the top teams have got more than us. But no, I'm absolutely delighted with what we've got. You know, last year as a team, we struggled to score goals. I don't know whether we equaled the worst record for goals scored or just went slightly better than it. But this year we have been scoring goals. Christian Dennis leading the way as our striker, but we've got other players who are chipping in with goals as well. what you have to do, you've just got to keep challenging yourself. You know, I've said to the players today, we've worked really, really hard over 29 games to get ourselves into third position. Now the hardest thing is staying there. That's the hardest challenge for you, because everybody else lifts their game and pushes themselves a little bit more. Starting this weekend at Wimbledon, who we know will be pushing all the way. And that's the challenge for us. If we're good enough, we'll stay up there. If we're not good enough, for whatever reason, whether it's ability, whether it's physicality, whether it's mentality, we'll fall away. And that's not what anybody wants. We want to make sure we keep giving ourselves the best chance to make it a really good season after 46 games.
Do you know what, Paul? It's my pet question at the moment. That exactly what you've just described. I asked it of Michael Carrick a few weeks ago, and I asked it of Stephen Schumacher, who I went to see this week. The principle of hunting v being hunted, because that's one hell of a switch in a season that your players now have to get used to. You are there. All you got to do is maintain that position to the end of the season and utopia, but it's a totally different mindset to hauling your way up that miming, climbing a ladder, as I say this, which will only make sense to those that are watching it. Very different point to be able to do.
Totally. And the word you've just used is all you have to do. But it's a massive amount that we have to do. You know, you have to, we're at that point in the season where we started about the third week in June. That's when we started back for pre-season training. So we've been going since June, and it's been a slog. We've got through the November and the December Christmas program. We've just got through January. We've got another run of fixtures with Wimbledon away and Mansfield at home, Colchester at home. Tough games. Wimbledon are a strong side. Mansfield are one of the top teams. Colchester are the form team at the moment. So it's the next batch of games that you've got to concentrate, and you've got to be right for that. You know, we're all disappointed that we lost at home against Harrogate, but we did a lot of good things in there. Not enough to win the game, not enough to get a draw either, because we made a mistake. But it's a big challenge for us to keep going, and whatever we've done for 29, we have to go and repeat, or preferably do even better to give ourselves the best possible chance.
I want to ask you the cliched question about geography. Again, it was something that I've reflected in a chat with Plymouth this week. It always comes up being on the extremities of English league football. But if you get it right, Paul, those long away days, the time spent together bonding on the bus, the time in hotels, that can be a huge part of the momentum that your team culture establishes, can it not?
Absolutely, yeah. It is a huge part of it. And the other thing is as well, we're really fortunate that the club have two houses up here where any lads who've got a fair distance to travel, they stay in the house together. So there's a real camaraderie around that as well. And, you know, they get food in together, and they'll sit and watch rubbish box sets on television together, and you know there's a real good spirit amongst them, and that's the big pleasing thing for me is that when I came in last season I felt as though there was a little bit of a clicky and a negative influence going on. So some of the decisions that were made in terms of the players that were released weren't necessarily just about ability. It was about personalities as well. I needed to change the personalities in the group. And this season, I think we've got a real good group. They're a group that's together, that's working incredibly hard for each other. They're willing to dig each other out as well if they're not doing things properly. And to be successful, I think that's a massive part of it, that you have to have that spirit.
Two questions about you personally. One is the comparison to modern day regime v that glorious couple of seasons, 2004-05, bringing the club back from the National League into League Two. And then that unbelievable campaign that followed, champions of League Two, best points return per game of any manager, 2005-06, that took you into League One. Are those worlds apart, the two different campaigns?
No, not at all, no. I mean, it's I don't even know where we were at this stage in that season. I think we were probably up at the top of the table. But it's I think in those days, in the 2005-06 seasons, we'd had a really tough time going out of the league, and it was a rebuild job, which, you know, I was in charge of the football, but Fred Story came in and was in charge of the rebuild and the reorganization of the business side of it. And the two things worked really well together. Now, this season, we don't have a rebuild going on in the background of the football club. There's still issues that need to be resolved off the field. But I'm trying not to get distracted by that because I can't do anything about it. My only focus now, it is something that I've learned over the years, is just to focus on the team. Try and focus on that. I'm trying to encourage local businesses, local business people, the council to get involved and try and help us as a football club, because we have a group of directors who are fanatical Carlisle United supporters, but they don't have the finances to put a really successful infrastructure in place. So we need help from elsewhere, and hopefully that'll come and I can keep concentrating on the football and make sure that we keep moving the club forward.
You're obviously as passionate, as dedicated as ever you were, but having had a brush with your own health, for anybody that doesn't remember, Paul had a cancerous tumour in a kidney and had to have it removed. Has it ever so slightly changed your perspective? And sometimes a little bit of, I think, a little bit of removal from the intensity and realisation that there are more important things than football can give you a freedom, Paul. I don't know if I'm making sense with that question.
No, I do know what you mean. It's really hard to say because it's hard to put my finger on exactly what has given me a different perspective on life. I just don't know. I mean, I always say that from the moment when I was driving and I got the phone call to say you've got a cancer tumour in your kidney, my whole philosophy on it was, right, okay, that's fine. This is going to be a really good news story about cancer. Although I was scared, I didn't think, right, this is going to be a horrible story for everybody to read about. I always just thought it's going to be a good news story. So I don't know whether it was that or whether I've just become a bit older and grayer and I suppose a bit battle hardened to it all. I've had my scrapes in football. I've had my scrapes with life. So I don't know what it is that changes you, but I certainly have a better balance on getting screwed up about a football result and trying not to take it home. Or no, if I'm going to be honest with you, and I think Jackie will admit it, I still do take it home, but I probably don't take it home for as long as I used to do. The boys all knew to stay out of my way for a day or so. It's not like that now. I'm, you know, once I go home, I try to get it out of my system as quick as I can and try and just enjoy life, because let's be honest, I've got a really good life. I've got no complaints about my life. I had a scare, however long, July 2021. I feel as right as rain now. As I'm speaking, I've got my follow-up appointment with my urology surgeon tomorrow afternoon, but I'm not expecting any issues. I feel really good. I feel healthy. And hopefully it carries on that way.
Yeah, well, the Carlisle fans, well, listen, everybody wishes you well, but the Carlisle fans in particular are glad about how your last year has worked out. Fixtures this coming weekend then, all 3 o'clock Saturday, as Paul's already said, his Carlisle head to Wimbledon. Stockport are into the playoff positions in seventh. They travel to Harrogate. Mansfield in sixth entertain Gillingham. Just 2 wins in their first 23 matches. They've had 3 in the last 4 unbeaten. They're now just a point from safety. Northampton have had a bit of a wobble and dropped out of those automatic promotion places to 4th. Lost 3 of their last 6. They go to Rochdale. Stevenage, 2nd, 7 points behind Leyton Orient, but with 3 games in hand. Unbeaten in the last 12 in the league. They're at home to Bradford. Salford in 5th are at Tranmere, and the leaders, Leyton Orient, after their midweek win at Crewe, they travel to Walsall. What I find fascinating as well, Paul, is there are always these little inconsistencies, blips, surprises that will have a say come the final end of the season. Just like Forest Green last season, Leyton Orient, seemingly unassailable at one point, and then have had a little bit of wobble by the standard set. And there'll be a few more of those between now and the first weekend in May.
Yeah, of course there will. I mean, I was asked the question last weekend when we lost at home against Harrogate Town, and somebody said to me, have you got an explanation for it? And I said, yeah, the players are human beings. They're not robots who you just switch on and send them out, game in, game out, and they produce the exact same results. They're human beings. They have days where they still want it to work. They still want to work extremely hard. But what you're trying doesn't come off. And that was a case of that last weekend. And we've got to hope that we don't have many of those off days between now and the end of the season. And we also hope that the other teams up and around us, they do have those off days, preferably starting this weekend at Wimbledon. I hope they have a good finish to the season, but not on Saturday. And we've just got to look after ourselves. If we do our own job properly, then we'll be fine. We've got tough games to come. There's a lot of teams we play who are up at the top half of the table. You know, you look at the league table and going down to, I think, Tranmere in about 15th or 16th in the table, and they're a good team. All of those teams have got the chance to try and get themselves into those playoff places and automatic, and we are one of a group who will be doing everything we possibly can to stay up there.
That's just a little bit of an indication of the attention to detail that managers have, folks, because Paul has nailed that perfectly. Tranmere are indeed in 15th. Paul, for a grumpy old man, that's been a wonderfully uplifting chat. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Clem.
That's it for this episode. A big thank you to Paul Simpson and to Saul Bamba. If you've enjoyed it, then please do give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. I'm Mark Clement. Join us again soon for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.